You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
We divide this one into two parts because at first, Jen, Glantz, and I start speaking about how you could choose any life you want now. And so the real question is, how do you start making decisions that are drastically different from the decisions you're used to? We normally say, well, I lived here last year, so I'm just going to renew my lease and live here this year. We use the lazy word just a lot when we make decisions. Like, oh, I have nothing else to do, so I'm just going to do this. But how do you make decisions to drastically change your life and your lifestyle? And a lot of people are doing that in this time of COVID and these post-economic lockdowns. How do you make a decision to change your life? Why you should maybe make a decision to change your life? And what cities or areas around the world are interesting to move to? And what does it cost? Very interesting conversation with Jen. Enjoy.
No. I'm excited.
Jen, before we get into all our stuff, and we have so many different ideas and businesses you're working on, I want to hear about all the updates. Jay was just saying he was trying to convince you to move out of New York. Jay, why are you trying to convince her to move out of New York?
Well, if you're paying, so one bedroom, if you're paying for $2,800 a month, wouldn't you be able to get at least two bedroom for $2,800 somewhere else? And also,
well, wait, Jen, where do you live right now? You live like in Manhattan or Brooklyn?
I live in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and we have to decide this week if we're renewing our lease or not.
Yeah, 1 week.
And are they offering you a deal like 2 months free or something like that?
They're offering 1 month free. They won't go any more than that. And look, it's a decent building and we're comfortable here, but we're open to leaving. We just have to make a decision pretty quick.
And what size is your apartment?
We have a one bedroom. It's a little over 500 square feet, which to me is huge for New York. And we pay around $2,800 for it.
So pick any other city on the planet. Why don't we pick Amsterdam? Okay. Or how about we pick, like, I don't know, Thailand by the beach or something?
Please tell me what I would get for $2,800 there. I'm dying to know.
Okay, so let's say apartments for rent in, I don't know, Koh Samui, Thailand, which is this beautiful island. That's like that movie, The Beach,
yeah,
type
right
of thing. So let's see, apartments and flats for rent in Koh Samui. Jay, I don't know, you probably are instinctively know the conversion rate between the baht and the...
I have no idea. If you ask me about Malaysia, yeah. But the baht, I have no idea. I don't know anything about Thailand.
Oh, and I don't know, like, square meters. Like, if something's 40 square meters, how many square feet is that?
You just have to convert the square meter to square feet. Because, you know, as any other country, we use metric system.
I'll find a calculator.
You
I don't have to
find
think anymore. I'm going
to
just. So, okay, every square meter is about 10.7 square feet. For $300, you can get something about the size of yours, and, you know, everything's on the beach there. So, let's see how much more we could spend.
Wait, you mean $300 a month?
Yeah.
Wait, USD or baht?
US dollars. So, okay, here we go. For $1,100 a month, which is, what are you paying right now?
$2,800.
So this is like, I don't know, 40% of what you're paying right now. So for $1,100 a month, you can get a two-bedroom apartment that's 108 square meters. So that means it's about 1,200 square feet. So it's more than twice as big. It's 40% of the price and like right on the beach. You're like steps from the beach.
You're killing me. I know. I don't have one good reason why we're still here, why we're staying here, but we're comfortable. And at this point, we have to shake that up. But it is scary. It's scary to just leave an apartment here. It's scary.
I know. Oh, okay. Here's even better. So this one's on the bay. I don't know what that means. It's first, and this is in, of course, Koh Samui, Thailand. It's a two-bedroom apartment. It's $1,000 per month, and it's
Tell me the square meter. I have to calculate it.
141 square meters. So that's like almost 1,600 square feet.
Yep. 1517.
So it's three times bigger than your place. It's again, almost a third of the rent you're paying now, and you're on the bay. But okay. So, but that's, of course, places outside of New York are cheaper. So the question is, are the benefits of living in New York better than, you know, you, and by the way, because it's renting, it's not like permanent. So you could do it for 6 months or a year or whatever you work out, and you could always move back to Manhattan. But so what are the benefits of daily, everyday being in New York City?
There's none, because we really don't go anywhere and do anything. And for so for
and
it's
like mostly lockdown for the past 2 years.
Exactly. And you never know what's going to happen next year. And so
because Delta variant.
Yeah, the variant.
Yeah, they're talking about locking down again.
Right. And I feel like that's a big New York thing, whereas other cities, they don't act that fast. They don't do that. But for 2 years of our lives, Adam and I lived in a new city every month, and we traveled around. We didn't have a home, and we were nomads. And we did that. And we did that whole journey for 2 years of our lives. We pulled a James almost for a couple of years.
And you enjoyed it. So, but maybe you like feel like you've been there, done that.
I enjoyed it. But now that we have put our stuff somewhere and we have stuff again, the art of doing that process again is scary to me. I don't know why. I think the pandemic, and this is such a huge problem, the pandemic has taken me from this adventurous person and made me so boring and so scared to do anything.
Well, no, that's not true. You're doing stuff all the time, but we'll get to that. But okay, just one for anybody listening out there who wants to live in Koh Samui, Thailand, which is a beautiful, beautiful place. Again, it's like the setting of the movie, The Beach. Here's one, $1,300 a month, three bedroom apartment. I'm looking at it right now. You got like a pool. I'm seeing the ocean. It's 225 square meters. So that's about, I don't know, 2,600 square feet, three bedrooms, four baths. And I don't know, you could work remote from there, and you could do all your podcasts, newsletters, everything. I'm actually going to put the link for this one. And then, you know, and then you have to think, okay, that's outside the US. What about in the US? But I mean, you can kind of get similar deals in the US, which was part of my interest.
I was looking at
I can't get the chat window. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, make sure you have to right click and paste it. Oh, James dropped his camera. But
it's because Squadcast has this
this shortcut key doesn't work anymore in Squadcast.
So how do you paste then?
You right click. Do you know how to right click on your fancy MacBook?
I don't think I even know how to. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here, there you go.
Okay.
I just want to mention another place that a lot of expats have been moving to is like Medellin, Colombia, because there's no more.
Wow.
The drug business is not there anymore. And you get like these amazing places. So a lot of like people in the sort of digital marketing world, because you could work remote, live there, because you get like penthouses super cheap. So you have a big American community. Let's see.
Okay, the place you just sent me, this three bedroom with a pool on the beach, it's like, why would you not live there? Why am I sitting in an apartment in Brooklyn? I don't do anything. I don't go anywhere.
That's 500 square feet.
Right, well, and I'm like, this is inexpensive, but it's tiny.
Well, the only thing you would don't want to go there is Thailand. They want to be in Southeast Asia and hot and sweat the whole time.
But that's what I don't mind that. I'm not a winter kind of person at all. I'm from Florida. I don't mind that kind of life.
Right.
But I think it's really tough when to pick up your whole life and go somewhere. I don't have a reason to stay in New York, but my fear is, what if I go somewhere new again and I don't like it and we lose out on this deal that we think we have here? But these are excuses. I feel like
And also that deal is going to get priced again next year. Like, it's just you have new prices every year. Let me see. Yep. I'm looking in Medellin now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't like the deal that everyone's saying like, oh, during the lockdown, everything, all the rent is so cheap. But if you look at it, it's all the deal. And then the next year, it go back to the market price.
Right,
so
right.
It's like a huge gamble. So if you move from, let's say, $2,400 to $2,100, you're thinking about, oh, you're thinking to yourself like, okay, I have this such a great deal with all this money free. And then when they go back up to 2,500, then they negotiate it again to 2,600, you might not be able to afford it anymore.
That's, well, yeah.
But that could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least like, at least in New York, that's just a lot more expensive.
Okay. But Jay and I were also talking that when you go somewhere new, it's hard to meet friends. And that's one benefit of being here is that I have my little corner, my little circle of people. And it's hard to make friends, especially right now.
Yeah, I agree. Because people aren't going out that much, your quarantine is kind of set. And so that's true. But do you guys get together with your friends or is it more like you have Zoom coffees or whatever?
This is, again, a very big excuse. I probably see people like once every other week, but again,
that's a lot.
Yeah, I think... I don't know why I just feel like this pandemic has made me so scared to live my life. It has made me so scared to do things that I used to do so casually and be so excited about. It's taken someone like me who's so adventurous and made me just so scared to even ride the subway or so scared to just walk around. Like I have so many fears recently and it's bad that maybe I do need to just sell all this stuff and move somewhere again.
Is it just in New York?
I don't know. I feel like before the pandemic, I was always on the go. I was always moving around. I was always up for things. And now I'm just like so scared to do anything.
But when you were in Chicago, do you feel the same as
No, we went to Chicago for 2 weeks and I felt like a brand new person. I had a great new routine. I felt alive again. And then I do come back here. This is like becoming like a therapy session. I'm loving it. I feel like I come back here and I get depressed.
J&J therapy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been depressed here because I feel like I'm not myself in New York and it's hard to be here right now.
Well, 500 square feet, like any other place on the planet would say, Jen, why are you living in 500 square feet?
Right. Well, it's to be honest, in New York, 500 square feet for 2,800, it's not something that's
in Brooklyn,
abnormal.
Though, Jay, you have more than 500 square feet and you pay similar rent. So, okay, Jen. This apartment is 3,000 square feet. This is in Medellin, Colombia, where, again, there's a huge American expat community of, like, digital marketers and entrepreneurs and people who work remote. This one's $207 a month, and it's 3,000 square feet. And I'm staring at it. It looks amazing. I mean, what the heck? There's, like, a billion rooms, and there's... pool tables. I'm gonna put this link in the chat.
Why are we in America right now?
Yeah, seriously. Why aren't the three of us somewhere else?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like when I moved out of New York, I went to Miami, but then Miami prices went up 50%. And
right.
So, now we're moving again to a city that's still a top 10 city, but prices are like one third Miami, and it's amazing what you get. So even in the US. You can get amazing places, but like, just check out that place I sent you in Columbia. It's $200 and it's 3,000 square feet. I don't know. My mind can't even comprehend. And it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And so the point is not to convince you. I think in general, we get fixated on these ideas, like this idea that you have to pick a city and that's where you're going to work and you're going to find all the things you love in that city. And you're never going to leave it.
And
now with the world remote, you could basically choose your lifestyle first and then decide where you're going to execute that lifestyle.
Yeah, well, when you talk about the friend thing, like your small community, it's almost like any other company, right? So in any other corporate company, they want you to make friends within the company so you won't leave the company.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I always wonder, like with friends at companies, are these people in the queue? You're basically friends with the people sitting in the cubicles around you. Are they going to my funeral like 50 years from now?
No.
Well, see,
no,
it's funny.
No.
Like I do have a lot of friends that works in the office and they are so tied together. Like they know the company is bad for them. They always complain 24/7. They just don't want to leave because they're like, oh, if I leave, I lose you, lose that.
Right.
So like I have a friend that doing the same job there for like 8 years now. just didn't improve because he doesn't want to leave his friend.
It's a selling point because people are so lonely. And if they find people somewhere, that will keep them there. You know, we got a dog during the pandemic. And because we walked her, we met a dog crew. And we're friends with these people because they have dogs and we have dogs. Yeah. And that became a cure for loneliness. Will those people be at my funeral? Probably not. They probably won't even be at my birthday party next year. But right now, it's like a savior for me to be like, oh, I have dog friends I can call. But you're right. You're so right. That's the only thing keeping me in New York is a select few people and the fact that I'm comfortable here. But it's tough. You know, it's tough to leave again. We did it once, but to do it again, it makes it just feel scary this time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's scary because, well, I think in post, or kind of, I don't know if we're post-COVID or still mid-COVID or whatever, but everything's sort of scary because we've all just stayed in our house for the past year and a half. Even people who kind of explored more or went out more in some parts of the country, they've been a little bit more open than others. I think people in general, you know, we've gotten kind of a scared mindset, like you might get sick. And you know, some people get sick and it's not a big deal, and some people get sick and die, and some people get sick and get really sick. It's you know, it's scary out there.
It is because you never know how sick you're gonna get. Like you never know which variant you're gonna get. It's not like you can see the variant.
No, and also you never know what's gonna happen in the future, but now it's almost like I really want to know what's gonna happen in the future if I pack up and move somewhere, because what if you move to another city, you get shut down, then you're stuck in an apartment in the middle of nowhere, and that's it for you. So, you know, I have a week to make this decision, and we've pro-con list everything that we were thinking. We have no idea. We have no idea.
So with that, that's why, like, I've been thinking if I would move, I would probably will move to a house that, you know, like the cheaper house, because if you have four rooms, at least you quarantine, you can, okay, this is my sleeping room. I can walk to my office.
Right.
And I can walk to backyard and has fresh air, then that you don't have to wear a mask.
A pandemic and 500 square feet is the ultimate marriage test for a couple who got married in the pandemic and have to live in this place. I mean, this is like the ultimate test for a marriage, a new marriage. It's been interesting for sure.
Oh my God, I'm looking at something right now. I mean, I hate to make this podcast, we got to change the topics eventually. But this is like, for the same price you're playing right now, if you were in Median, you could get like, oh my God, you get like a gym in your apartment, a swimming pool. You're like on the top of a mountain.
Okay, so if you were I'm gonna
send you this link, one more link.
If you were in my position, you would leave. You would absolutely leave this apartment behind and go.
Well, I left an apartment in New York and went. So the answer is yes.
Jay,
but then I even left the place we haven't left yet fully, but we're about to leave the place that we have in Key Biscayne, Florida, because we found a place that's much more value per dollar. And it's incredible. It's like the best place I've ever lived. And I asked the same questions. Like, what did I get from New York? Well, I had, no matter what you're interested in New York, it's great there. Like the best in the world is there. Like if you're interested in comedy, the best comedians are there. If you're interested in theater, if you're interested in science, whatever. But since so many people are leaving the major cities, LA, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, London, that talent and those skills and that culture and stuff is dispersing to other metropolitan areas, because I'm not the only one, and we're not the only ones who realize you could choose your lifestyle first. You don't have to choose the city first and then see what's there. You could choose the lifestyle you want and then find where that lifestyle exists, and then go there and still do 90% of what you would have done anywhere else.
My accountant always says to me, Jen, I hope you're having a really good time in New York, because you are paying to have this ultimate time in New York with the amount of taxes that you're paying. And I keep thinking, no, I'm not having a great time in New York. I'm not doing anything, but I'm paying so much to live here. It's crazy.
That's why happened to me too. Like every time, like, you know, like I felt like if, given the salary and, you know, the side hustle that I have, if I'm in other city, I don't have to worry about anything. Right now, even though with the salary and the side hustle, I have to constantly worry about, will I be able to afford my income tax?
Yep.
It's not like, will I be able to afford anything else? It's more like, will I be able to afford my income tax?
Well, that's the good and the bad of the cities. Like New York City, for instance, has so many services. Like there's top-notch you know, everything from police to firemen to healthcare to education. Supposedly, that's their argument. So it's extremely expensive, New York State and New York City. And so the taxes are, in New York City in particular, the highest in the country. You don't start making a dollar of your income until September. From January through September, all the money you make, you have to set aside for the government. And then sometime in September, you start making money for yourself for a few months. And
that's
so I just put one more link that where it's your, it's a little bit less than what you're paying now, but not that much less. And that's what you get in Median.
It's wild. I mean,
well, the thing is like,
I don't even know how to describe it.
Just huge.
Just get back to like all the, like you said, like the city has the best, you know, firemen and all that stuff. Well, that should get covered in income tax. That should, like, the rent shouldn't have anything to do with it.
But then the reason the rent's so high, of course, is that, you know, supposedly you make more money living in New York. Like, if you live in New York, for instance, you can work for a Wall Street bank. Wall Street banks have trillions of dollars. They, you know, people get wealthy working for Wall Street banks. So I'm not making a judgment whether this is good or bad, but because there's so many Wall Streeters living in New York, that in general increases the price of the sales price or the rental price of apartments. The other thing in New York is rent control and rent subsidies. So in the 1970s, for whatever reason, New York City passed a law saying that if you live in many apartments, if you're living in this apartment now, they can't really raise the rent, you know, more or less. And those laws still exist. So if you're in a building that has 10 apartments and three of them are rent controlled, that means the prices of the other seven you have to raise incredibly high to balance off the fact that you've never been able to raise the rent on the other three. So even though a lot of, like, you know, artists and so-called liberals, and I say this because I don't really believe they are liberal, they're actually anti-liberal, because so many of these artists and so-called liberals live in places like Soho or The Village, they've, you know, because of rent control, they've raised the prices for everybody else in those areas because they've held their own rent down and landlords have had to raise the other price of the other rents.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to change. Like, I think when everyone was saying how, oh, everyone's like leaving New York, rents are going to go down, none of that's true at all.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I was just talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
People are coming back to New York. People never really left New York, I don't think, like everyone was saying, but I don't think rents are going to suddenly fall down anytime soon.
Well, the thing is, what I think, I could be wrong, what I think it's... every time when they say the rents go down, it's more like they're giving you a deal for that year. So like it's not necessarily going down per se.
Right, they're giving you like 3 months free or something, and then we'll see next year if that's going to continue.
Yeah,
and also like to be honest, $100 less is not as much. $100 doesn't really make any difference. If it's like $300-$400 less, then it's fine because $100 a month in New York City. What can you really do? You know, you can get a lot of stuff, but still, you know.
Honestly, if you're gonna go outside of the U.S., the best apartment I've seen is this one in Koh Samui. That's $1,300, and I'm going through the pictures. This is like would be the best place I've ever lived in my life if you live there. And you're right, Jay. It's hot, but it's hot everywhere. It's hot in New York City. It's 100 degrees in New York City during the summer.
I know that one is definitely my top choice because it has an outdoor pool that overlooks the beach and it's just, it's beautiful. It's crazy.
But like if you lived in the US other than New York City, where would you live?
Well, that's the problem. We can't figure that one out. I mean, when we did our 2-year thing, we lived everywhere. We lived in Portland, Austin, Denver, Chicago, LA. We've lived everywhere. And I can't pick one city because I'm not the kind of person that I think ever wants to settle down And I don't see myself buying a home somewhere, staying there for 5, 10, 15 years. I can't even view my life like that. But I do feel pressure to think like that. My parents will call me and say, you're thinking of traveling again? Why don't you just settle down, find a place, buy a house, have a kid? And that gives me the biggest panic attack of my life.
Yeah, why does it give you a panic attack?
Because that to me is not living life. And the thought of that, I know I will not be happy. If I go to a suburb, get pregnant, have a kid right now, that to me is like the opposite of what I feel is happiness. So when someone says to me, why aren't you going to settle down? Why are you going to move around again? I just start to panic.
Yeah, remember, like when anyone, and just like us, I'm not giving advice right now. I'm just kind of asking the question and looking at the alternatives, which is a good way to do things. You should always, you know, supply and demand basically rules every decision in life, which is a weird way to use economics. But, you know, if there's too much demand for New York City and prices are too much and people leave, then you might not want to live there.
Yeah.
So it helps make decisions. But when someone says you should do this, they're only saying they wish they had done something like that. Or rather, maybe another thing they're saying is, I did this, so I want you to do it to kind of verify, to validate my own decisions in life. Like, it's never about you when people are giving advice. It's always about them. And you always have to question. There's always the real reason they're saying something. And no, there's always the good reason they're saying something. Like, they act like they're well-intentioned, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the real reason. And the real reason's a lot different than the good reason.
But you deal with guilt. I've always lived a very unusual life, more unusual than anyone else in my age that I know. But you deal with guilt. I have a Jewish mother who only wants me to have a kid right now. That should be my number one priority. But to me, I don't want to do that today. And I also don't want to have a kid and stop working and live in a suburb. I want to have an extraordinary life. I want to have a very unusual, extraordinary life. If I could live how I wanted, myself, my husband, and my kid would be traveling, would be living in different cities every couple months. Like, I don't know about school. I don't know about those things, but that's what I would want. I can't see myself buying a house in the middle of nowhere and having a kid. That, I know I would run away from that. That scares me.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Like, you have friends in New York, but do you feel like if you move to other, and a lot of the cities you just mentioned, like Portland, Austin, LA, Chicago, these are still big, expensive cities. And there's other cities now, like people now are looking at Nashville, or oddly it rhymes, but Asheville, North Carolina, or, you know, various places in Virginia or Atlanta, a little bit more southern where they're cheaper. But they're still very diverse, because I always look at the change of address requests at the New York City post office. Everybody's moving like to these cities, like Atlanta, Dallas, Asheville, you know, Miami and Austin, of course. But a friend of mine just moved from Austin to Knoxville, Tennessee, because it's like you said, he was inside all the time. So he figured, why not be inside an 8,000 square foot space instead of a 1,000 square foot space, and be inside a place overlooking like beautiful mountains and horses and all this stuff for a cheaper price. Now, again, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just saying people are making decisions differently because everyone's working remote now.
Yeah. You know, I'm also thinking, like, I feel like you're so brainwashed to think and feel that New York is a success in your life to live here and to be here, but it's so not true. So you think to yourself, if I leave here, am I some sort of failure? If I leave here, will I ever be able to come back? I think for people who are not from New York and work really hard to get here and pay to live here and survive here, the thought of leaving it becomes this very manipulative, weird relationship that you have.
Yeah, like the first time, I mean, I tried living outside of New York for a little bit, but I moved only like 60 miles north of New York and was easy. I live right on a train station, so it was easy to get in. But I had a panic attack that I wasn't going to make money anymore because I was no longer in New York. And it was totally ridiculous because I was even working remote. This was years and years ago, but I was even working remote then and didn't need New York. And then I guess when I was doing stand-up comedy a lot, I needed New York because all the comedy clubs were there. But I don't know. My friends and I would always say, if you didn't have to live in New York, New York's a tough place to live. There's a lot of reasons why it's a very hard place to live. But, you know, and it wasn't like I was going to I don't know, the Museum of Natural History every day or Broadway or anything like that.
So, it's true. It's true. And nobody I know who lives here does any of that. You only do that when you have people visiting you who want to go do those kind of things. So, yeah, I don't think we have any reasons to be here anymore. I think the only thing keeping us here is fear. And that's never a good reason to do anything and be anywhere. And yeah, that's the honest, honest truth.
It sounds like a tyranny regime right there.
Yeah. It's true. Like, the only reason to stay in Afghanistan right now is because you're afraid to try to get to the airport. But the friends thing is important. Like, if you have a lot of, like, close friends, that's, you know, and if you feel like it's difficult for you to make friends, that could be a reason to stay. But is it a reason to pay, you know, $2,800 or whatever for a 500 square foot apartment? That's a big quality of life thing. Like, imagine if you lived in 3,000 square feet instead of 500 square feet, and you had your own office, and you had a yard, and you had a pool for the same price. And that's basically in every other city in the United States other than New York, LA, San Francisco, Chicago.
I know, but I feel like we're so conditioned. I'm literally saying to you, 500 square feet, that's huge. That to me is like, we live in a huge apartment, and I'm saying 2,800 as if it's inexpensive. That's what I've just been so conditioned to think about. I wouldn't even know what to do with 1,000 square feet. I wouldn't even know what to do.
Be yourself a live stream room. Then you can live stream everything.
Oh, I'd get a huge monitor. I'd get a couple mics. Yeah. I'd be streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, people say, and this is one of those things, like, we did that exercise where you wrote down, this is what I would do if I had $1 million. But, you know, like, 1,000 square feet, you don't, 3,000 square feet, you don't need $1 million. You just need a different location.
Right.
And you would get it. Like, Jay, the room that I'm doing this podcast in, how many square feet is this? You were just here.
Your room is definitely, the room that you're doing podcast is definitely bigger than my apartment. I would say about 600. 500 to 600 square feet.
So my whole apartment could fit in that room.
Yeah, I could guarantee I'm paying less for this room than. I mean, if it was a portion of what I'm paying per month, a percentage, it's probably less than $100 right now.
Because that room is literally from my windows to my door. That's how long the room is. Maybe a little bit longer.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway. I'm not saying you should leave New York. I'm not saying anyone should leave New York. New York's a great city. I of course grew up there, lived there almost my whole life until recently. And, but I felt like when you always weigh the pros and cons, it's like a job. I always tell people every 2 years, if you have a job, every 2 years, you should apply for new jobs, not because you want a new job, but just to see what the market is like. What's your value on the market? And it's always good to ask, what is the value of New York City to me? Because what is the value of everything in my life? Because everything changes all the time. Now, some things like a spouse, if the value might change, but you don't necessarily discard it because there's like, you know, deeper commitments and stuff like that. But most things, if the value of this object or location or job or whatever changes, if the value changes, then you should replace it with something of better value. And I'm not saying more expensive, but more higher quality of life per dollar.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. I think the value has definitely changed during the pandemic, even now, and we're sort of in the pandemic still. And yeah, I think it's also something that now that we both no longer have a full-time job here, neither of us have to be in New York. Why are we here? And that's definitely a question we ask.
And then you have to ask, like, what is quality of life for you? Like, is it, so you don't have a commute because you work remote. So a big quality of life for me always was commute. And that's why I liked working remote. I mean, I've worked remote since 1997 now. And it's helped me because, you know, it gives you more creativity with your time. But what other quality of life things? Is it space? Is it land? Is it nature? Is it friends? Is it culture? Like, what are the quality of life metrics that are important to you?
I think number one, having a walkable place, a walkable city is huge. I want to be able to walk places. I don't drive. I don't want to ever learn to drive. I don't want to deal with that. So I think something walkable. I think a place where there's a lot of different types of things to do so that if it's a weekend, you don't have the same routine, just different things that could break your routine. I think those are the two things that matter the most. Outdoor, something without a good outdoor type of area is good. But that's it. I don't need space. I don't need culture. I don't need all of these things. I think I just need those things.
Yeah. So then you could make a list. What are the places that might provide that? And then you could see, is this a way to... Because, you know, when things are a lot cheaper, for instance, or things are either cheaper and you get the same of that you have now, but much cheaper, or you spend the same and you have huge quality of life difference in a cheaper city. And you, again, these are things you could weigh, like, oh, if I save money, maybe I have money for other things I want to do. Or if I walk around and I have a lot of space, maybe I'll feel more creative, or maybe my relationship will be different because we won't be in each other's way that much. Or, you know, there's all sorts of factors. And I think people just blindly just make the same decisions year after year after year because, of course, I'm not going to leave New York. But they don't really think of all the alternatives.
Yeah, you're right. I think, like, we've made all these pro-con lists, but they don't really get you anywhere. But then asking these types of questions, I think, could actually make our conversation go from not knowing what we're going to do to having more of an idea of what we need to do almost. So this is helpful. This is really helpful.
So when you guys move as a pair. So, you know, that's at least anything happen, you guys still have each other.
Yeah.
If I were to move, I'm just alone. So,
hey, that's the
Jay, move around me and then you'll be okay.
Come to Thailand with me in this 3-bedroom apartment I'm about to get.
Well, if we will move to the city together, then we have friends.
Yes. All right. Pick a random, let's say, third tier city in the United States. Now, everybody in major cities looks down on third tier cities, but okay, what's like a third tier city that feels reasonable to you?
Well, the question is, how do you define third tier cities?
Like St. Louis or Phoenix, Arizona, or I honestly, Madison, Wisconsin, or Atlanta, or whatever.
Is Atlanta
okay,
third
I'm
tier?
Obsessed
second
with-
or third tier.
I'm obsessed with Bozeman, Montana, and then Boise, Idaho.
Okay, let's look at Boise, Idaho. And a lot of the reason I'm picking that one instead of Montana is I think a lot of people are obsessed with that part of Montana, and those prices might be going up. I know a lot of people in LA who are moving to that exact town in Idaho. I mean, in Montana. Bozeman.
I've always wanted to move to Montana. I've never even been there, but I've always had this fascination with it. But right.
It's weird how, like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's like a big agent in LA, and he's like, I'm moving to Bozeman, Montana, because we don't have to live here anymore. Let's see. So,
James did bet me, like, you know, if he gave me $1 million, will I move to Montana?
And would you say?
I say, depends, you know, if I can keep all $1 million or if he also covered the relocation.
And I thought that was a bit greedy, since your whole price for living in Montana, like everything you do there, like going to McDonald's would be 1/3 as cheap in Montana versus, you know, a major city. So I'm trying to find, there's lots of apartments in Boise, Idaho, but they're all like in buildings. So let me see. How many bedrooms do you want?
Two.
Do you need an office though?
Sure. I'll take an office.
Let's throw in an office. So 3-bedroom.
Wait, I'm looking too. You can't even find anything that's even close to $2,800. I feel like everything is way cheaper and nicer too.
Here's a 3-bedroom.
Wow.
For 1,300 square feet, and it's $2,300, and it's in a building, so there's like a gym and all that. But
I just found one too.
You like houses or apartment?
I think we would prefer an apartment.
1,400 square feet, so it's almost three times bigger, and it's cheaper than where you live now, and you're in a walking area. It's this area, Kleiner Park, and let's see, 2.5 bathrooms, 3 bedrooms, so you got your office. Yeah, I mean.
Wow.
And that's Boise, Idaho.
Yeah. No, there's some really awesome ones I'm looking at that are so inexpensive.
And you know what? You probably, I'm assuming you and your husband would make friends. And then you still have the friends here in New York.
I know. And friends is such an excuse. I can make friends anywhere. And if you live in an apartment building, you have access to meeting people there too. So, and plus all my friends are mostly virtual anyway. Like you guys.
Yeah. I just saw Jay for the first time in like 5 years. He came, visited me.
Wow. What was it like seeing each other in person?
It's weird. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, James lost weight and then I gained weight, you know.
You didn't gain weight. I didn't notice that you gained weight.
Well, I hide it very well.
Oh my God.
That's why I have long hair. it's interesting. Like it's more, it's like, oh yeah, finally see you again. Now we all catch up again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though you talk a lot, it's still, the in-person whole thing is so weird.
I know. But like, I feel like I'd rather see people a lot in virtual and then once in a while in person. Because that give a fresh perspective on how you see your friend.
Yeah.
If you see everyone, one person like all the time in person, I'm like, okay, I'm tired of you or sick of you now.
But it makes me nervous to see people in person, and then when you wait so long to see them, those nerves build up even more. Because there's more to think about when you see a person in person. There's more to judge. There's more to just
right.
I get self-conscious. Yeah,
oh yeah, for me it's like, are they gonna talk politics or are they just gonna talk regular stuff?
Yeah. Depends. You never know.
Yeah.
So this is all just, again, not saying you should move or anything like that, but just that I think people really, really need to take a look at all the factors in their life, how the values have changed, and make decisions accordingly. Yeah. And make sure, like Jay and I did a podcast about the three laziest words, and the word just was the first lazy word. So if you say, I'm just going to renew my lease, or I'm just going to stay here, I've always stayed here, that's like a lazy word where you're not putting in the extra effort to really evaluate, like, hey, life is short. Does this location, does this job, do these friends, do these objects, do they deserve another year of my life? And it's hard to do that thinking past the word just. It's so easy to say, I'll just rent one more year and see what happens. You know, sometimes it's worth looking at these things.
I just want to make a correction. You didn't do that with me. You did that with Brian Keating.
Okay. Yeah. But you were there. You're always there.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.